Okay, today's topic is the experience of Kedusha before and after the Churban. Thank you, everyone, for coming on again another Tisha B'Av. I've been doing this for about, 30 years or so. I think really never missing a Tisha B'Av, even though I've missed maybe other occasions. And I find it always meaningful that there should be a live shiur, so to speak, along with the shiurim going on throughout videos throughout the world. So that's why we've always done it. And today's topic, when I said the experience of Kedusha, I mean Kedusha. What I mean to say is that I mean it's the notion of the Kedusha that we say in davening. It's not just the experience of holiness, but of that particular element as it relates to the Churban Beit HaMikdash. So consequently, what I want you to do is, with the source in front of you, to begin by asking any questions as we go through the sources, and we will try to, toward the end, answer many of those questions. I think you will find it inspiring, God willing. I will say that, as is the case here, as is often the case, Rav Soloveitchik said a few things, and because he said a few things, I created a whole shiur to kind of look more deeply into what he said, to see if it could be defended, to see if I felt it was really more deeply correct, and that's kind of how I got my inspiration for today's shiur. All right, let's look at source number one. Source number one, you all know, because it's from the Seder Ayom. We know when it comes to davening, we say Kedusha, as we said, which is the focus of today's shiur. Everyone accepts upon themselves, we know, the God's kingship. They give permission one to each other to sanctify their creator, benachad ruach, nicely, with a clear word, clear words and language, v'ni'ima kedusha, or v'ni'ima kedosha, depending on how you have the reading, in a nice way. Kulam ki echad, all like one, onim v'omrim b'yad, they say with great fear, yes?
Why would they have to give each other permission?
Okay, good, hold on to that. Good, to keep raising questions like that. And they say, of course, kadosh, 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 Hashem svel melocha arts kvodo, the whole world is full of God's glory. And then, v'yofanim v'chayat ha-kodesh, the yofanim v'chayat ha-kodesh, we weren't told who the other malachim were, even the paragraphs before this, but a certain type of which we'll see later, of angel, Ofanim v'chayat ha-kodesh, b'rash gadol, with a great noise, minaseim u'matzrafim. They raise themselves up against, now we see what the previous angels were, against the Srafim. And they say, la'umatam, against them, mishabachim v'omrim. They praise and they say, no, baruch kavod Hashem mimakomo. There seem to be two statements here of what Kedusha is. One is kadosh kadosh, one is baruch kavod, and we know that these make up the two essential elements in the Kedusha that we say, which we require 10 for usually. This we're just saying the narrative of what the Malachim said. Of course, we later on in the real Kedusha, we do what the Malachim said. We actually do what they say, okay? And we'll see later, maybe become greater than Malachim. But this is the first statement, all right? So you see, in the first paragraph, it seems like everything's nice and beautiful. You ask, Nim Rishut Zelazem Menachem, right? They give permission to each other. They want to be on top of each other. They do it b'ne'ima. They do it nicely. They do it beautifully, right? Everything's nice and beautiful. It says b'nachat ruach. Everything's so nice and kind. Everyone's kind to each other. And then come the second paragraph, and it's a great tumult. A great noise is taking place. And they say, baruch kavod Hashem imakomo. Look at source number two. In the Tana de Be'eliyahu, so here we have the following statement. It says, Me'id ani alai shamayim v'aretz, testify for me the heavens and the earth. This is so relevant to Tisha B'Av. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev mitzapeh lahen Yisrael. I testify that God himself sits and waits for the Jewish people. Yoter mima shemitzapeh av livino, more than that a father waits for his child. V'yashi levala, and a woman for her husband. Sheyasu tshuva, that the Jewish people should repent. So he will build a temple that will not be destroyed forever. And then again will return to him the two levels, the two lines of angels just called Malchei Asharit in general, the ministering angels, Ha'omdim Lefanav, who stand before him. Vayomru Shira Lefanav, and they will say again song before him. Shura Achat Amed Lefanav, Mechim Dishim Et Shemo V'chol Yom Tamid. There's one line of the angels who sanctify him and sing song before him every day. Mitziat Achama V'yad Shkiat Achama, from the sunrise until sunset. In other words, during the daytime hours, there's a group of angels who sing one thing. What do they say? Kadosh Kadosh Hashem Sama Kalat Splado. They say what we call Kadosh Kadosh. And then Shura Shenit, the second group of angels, Omdim Fana, Makdishim Et Shemo B'chol Yom Tamid, Mishkiat Acham Yadkiat Achama. And then there's another group who says it from sunset until sunrise throughout the night. Another group of angels. What do they say? Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimakomo. So there are two different times when we're being told these Pasukim and Kedusha are said. Umatom Lamar Mimakomo. What's the Gemara say? What's it mean? Mimakomo, from its place. Elefeshine Briot Roinoto, Shafilo Malche Asharit Enan Rinoto, Shafilo Chayota Kodesh, Anosimet Akise Kvodo Enan Roin Et HaKavod Shelo. So it seems like Kadosh, Kadosh, we said everyone saw this great Kavod going throughout the world. And however, when it comes to Baruch HaVod Hashem Mimakomo, so then there's a question about where that place is that the Kavod is coming from. We don't know where that's from. Okay. Let's go now into the sources where these themselves, where these come from, where we see the angels talking. Where does this come from? And namely, they are the Nevuahs of Yeshayahu and of Yechezkel. In source number 3, Yeshayahu says the following. Bishnat Mot HaMelech, this is in Perek Vav of Yeshayahu, he says, Ve'era et Adonai Yoshev al Kisei Ram V'nisa. He said he sees God sitting on this high elevated throne, Vishulav Meleim et Haichal, and his legs, as it were, are drifting down into the temple. Seraphim Omdim Mimalo. Again, it's the Seraphim, these type of angels we'll see later, which are standing around this vision. And then at the end, Vikarazel Zevi Amar, they call one to each other and say, Kadosh, Kadosh, etc. Hashem Saba Mukhar Tzvodo. That's Yeshayahu, that's where you get the Kadosh, Kadosh idea of sanctifying God. Then we have Yechezkel. Yechezkel says in source number 4, Vayhi b'shloshim shana b'v'yi b'chemishal ha'chodesh, v'ani b'toch ha'golah. So we have before Yeshayahu. Where do we see Yeshayahu? He saw these malachim, and where did the legs, as it were, go down to? Into where? Where did they go down to? The Heichal. The what? The temple, right? So Yeshayahu is talking about an experience where the temple still exists, all right? Yechezkel is saying, ani b'toch ha'golah. I am not in the temple sphere anymore. I am now in the Galus. I am in exile. So Nahar Kevar Niftachu, he's at the river where Niftachu HaShemayim, where the heavens opened up. And then he has his experience, though, in that particular situation. So again, you have that comparison. One, Yeshayahu is in Eretz Yisrael. He's saying, Kadosh, Kadosh. The whole land is full of God's glory. And Yechezkel, who is in Galus already, is saying, Baruch HaVod Hashem Mimakomo. The glory of God is from this one particular place, but not necessarily from everywhere. And then in source number 5, it says again, this is Yechezkel continuing. He says in source number 5, Vayomer Eli Ben Adam, so God says to him, and he tells him, as it goes on the next pasuk, to go out into the Golah, again, to go into the exiles. And at the last line it says, Vatiseinu Ruach Veshmach Raikol Rash Gadol, what we're used to in the davening, Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimakamo. So that is Yechezkel speaking. So we have, it says in source number 3, Yeshayahu sees them sitting Yoshev Al Kisei Ram V'nisa. What is the idea of God being Yoshev? What does that tell you? What is that idea? What does it mean if he's sitting there? Anyone? What does that mean?
Constant.
Permanent, right? Yeshayahu is seeing God's greatness in his permanence. He's sitting there on the throne. The Beis HaMikdash is there. You have the glory of God in all its greatness. And so he says, Moloch al Haaretz Kavodo. Then you have Yechezkel. Yechezkel is where? He's in the Galus, right? And anyone know what is Yechezkel known for? What is his vision seen as? What do we call that? The Merkava. Yechezkel is seen as a Merkava experience. What is a Merkava? What's a Merkava?
Chariot.
A chariot. What is a chariot as opposed to a chair? What's a the throne? It's moving, right? It's in Galus. It's not in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim where you're there permanently with Klal Yisrael at its best. We're in Galus. We can be moving from place to place now once we no longer have God's full, complete protection, all right? And that is the situation with Yechezkel that he's discussing, all right? We have those two comparative situations, all right? Let's go to source number.
But then Yechezkel also give us the Nevuah of the final Beis HaMikdash.
Of the final base of Mikdash later on, yes. Yes, later. Yeah, okay, okay. That's later, at a later time, you're saying. This is current. This is current, what's taking place now. Look at source number 6. If I would ask you, what is greater, the notion of Yeshayahu's Nevuah or Yechezkel's? What would you say? What would you have said before you came in here? I know what I would have said. I thought Yechezkel's was greater. Why do you think I thought Yechezkel's was greater? Anyone? I mean, yeah?
Yechezkel's was the one with the chariot,
right? Yeah, the chariot, the Merkava.
Hashem going out to war, with Israel. That's what I thought of before.
Okay, we usually identify Yechezkel. Who studies like Merkava? Who studies Kabbalists. That stuff? Kabbalists, mysticism. We usually think that's the highest level, okay, is you're studying the Merkava, all right? And yet, we will see that Yeshayahu's, according to the Gemara, Yeshayahu's Nebuah is greater than that of Yechezkel. What does it say about at the sea? You all know the famous Medrash of Rashi that says, what happened at the sea at Kriyas Yamsuf? What happened there?
Everyone saw...
How does it say? How does it say it? On Zekei Levi
Yadveinu. Even the lowest person
right?
saw...
Right? Rashi Palayam, right? Mashalo Ra'ah Yechezkel Ben Buzi. Right? Even the maiden on the maidservant. On the sea, the Red Sea, saw what Yechezkel ben Buzi didn't see. So I always thought, Yechezkel ben Buzi, that is the ultimate when it comes to Nevuah, right? She saw what even Yechezkel didn't see. But you know what we're going to see? But she didn't see what Yeshayahu saw. We will see that Yeshayahu actually has a greater Nevuah than that of Yechezkel. All right? Yes.
Is there anything to say about the fact that the Yeshayahu's Nevuah was a fixed, a stationary, and the... Yechezkel was a moving that was somehow a greater nevuah because it showed it wasn't contained but it could be all over as opposed to Yeshayahu's vision of.
Well, for those who remember, that's a good point.
Only in Eretz Yisrael.
Yes. So last year we had the shiur. The topic was the topic was Reishit Smichat Gulatenu. What does it really mean? Where I argued. Oh, that was 2 years ago. Excuse me. Last year was called fake news because So it's called fake news. We discussed the Korban Beis HaMikdash and so on. But in terms of Yechezkel, so 2 years ago, the shir was Reshit Smichat Gulatenu, where the Malbim argues, and we said, Reshit Smichat Gulatenu, some say, we do not Yisrael, it's Reshit Smichat Gulatenu. What are you talking about? The Korban Beis HaMikdash was Reshit Smichat Gulatenu, as the beginning of the redemption. As crazy as that sounds, the Malbim says it throughout his commentary, that the Gula began just like the Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av, that idea that that's when the need for the Gula came. So he says, when Klal Yisrael spread out into the world, right, and they had to then be a light to the nations, that was the beginning of the Gula, says the Malbim. He calls it Reshit Smichat Gulatenu. Okay? So there is that idea there. Here, however, I don't see anyone say it. They all say that Yechezkel's in Galus, and it's a lower level. Merkava is lower than Yeshayahu. And we're going to see how right now. The Gemara says, if you look in Chagiga, source number 6, Daf Yud Gimel, it says, Amar Rava, Kol Shiro Yechezkel Ra'a Yeshayahu. Whatever Yechezkel saw, Yeshayahu certainly saw. Yeshayahu saw more than Yechezkel. The Ma Yechezkel Domeh, what is Yechezkel like? Leben Kfar Shira'ad Amelech. He's like a villager who saw the king. Yeshayahu, Lema Yeshayahu Domeh, Leben Krach Shira'ad Amelech. What is Yechezkel like? What is Yeshayahu like? He is like someone who lives in the city who saw the king. Does someone describe the difference? If you live in a little village or you live in the big city, what's the difference? Think of it more like the capital versus you're in the village. So what's the difference? If you're in the capital, what's it like? What do you see?
A lot of pomp and circumstance.
What do you see?
A lot of pomp.
How? What's there? Who's in the capital? The king is there. The king's there. If you see the king in Washington, D.C., I don't know if I say the king, but if we see the king in Washington, D.C., so you see him moving around, it could be you'll see a limousine with the king. It could be you saw him. You're right there where he is. It could be you'll see him. If you're in a village, if you're in Cincinnati, wherever else you are, maybe once in a while, you don't see him regularly. You don't see him, his limousine going, you don't see his helicopter. Okay? So here they're saying Yeshayahu, he was like in the city. He was actually seeing the king himself in his vision. He saw the king of Melech Yosef, Akisei Ram Nisai. He saw him. where Yechezkel, he was outside. He was in the village, so that he did not have such a great vision. And so too, Tosfos explains in the next Tosfos, number 7, we'll just go outside. Tosfos says that it's like a person who would see, if you see Yechezkel's vision, it's much more detailed. I saw these animals, and I saw this, and I saw the faces, and I saw what it looked like. Yeshayahu was just kind of like we saw, like just a general kind of idea. Why is Yechezkel? It seems like Yechezkel got a much better look because he has all these details. And yet, Tosfos says no. He says, if you really see the king and you're in the city, if I would tell someone, you know, I live in D.C. and I saw the king the other day, okay, someone would say, okay, I believe that. Why? It's hard to believe you saw the king, but he's driving around. I mean, he goes places. Okay, so he saw him. Possible. All right? If you're living in a small village and you say, I saw the king today. So what do you mean you saw the king today? He wasn't here. Who's... Why, how could you see the king? He's supposed to be here today. I didn't see it anywhere that he's going to be here today. You don't live where the king lives. So that's why Yechezkel, they said, had to have many more details in his nevuah. Even though it seems like he saw him better, he needed more details to convince people that I saw the king. Where Yeshayahu, oh yeah, Yeshayahu was a higher level. Oh, he saw the king right now. No problem. He saw the king when the Mikdash was there. It wasn't in Galus. No problem. We believe you. We don't need anything else to tell us that. All right? So that's kind of, again, how you have this comparison between Yeshayahu and between Yechezkel. Now, source number 8. So here you have the Malbim discussing Ra Yechezkel Merkava Sheba Nosea Melech HaKavod Bidgola Bidalad Chayot Noseim Eta Merkava Elasher Yeshama Ruach Lalechet. So he explains what kind of Chazal meant in his way. He says, yes, you have the moving chariot in Galus with Yechezkel. And when you see a chariot, as I think Shmuel said before, you're kind of limited in the pomp and circumstance. I mean, how much can you do? You only have a certain amount of space to go around traveling. Where if you're in the city itself, where everything's permanent, you could put up permanent decorations and all sorts of things that could be there to show the greatness of the king. So he says that that's the difference in this particular situation. He says, just go down about 6-7 lines. He says, "Kain ra'au Yeshayahu be'ir malchuto yoshev al kiso uben akvar yirayu be'et yesa hamelach derech hakvar mimakom lamakom shiruhu nosea b'merkava v'yasim libo al merkava v'al achayot alfanim asher yolichu et hamelach b'saper et asher ra'at." The end part, I'm saying what I mentioned before, Yechezkel had to have more detail in mind because he had to convince people that he really saw this. Where Yeshayahu, of course you saw it. There's a Beis Hamikdash and you were there, of course. So again, the difference Yeshayahu's nevuah is greater than that of Yechezkel. Okay? At source number 9, same idea. He says, Yishayahu ra'at ha-melech ba'od shaita ha-shechina b'mekoma. He saw it when the Shechina was still there, Yishayahu. The Beis HaMikdash still existed. So certainly saw the king himself, as opposed he goes on to say that you had a difference when it came to Yechezkel, who did not have the same type of background, and therefore he could not see, you know, the greater element of the king. Okay. Now,
in a way, it's easier to see when it's on the coma.
It's on the coma.
But it's also easier in a way. So in a way, there's a down aspect there.
Well. Oh, you're saying Yechezkel's easier?
Right, in a way.
When what's that?
Because when the Shekhinah is where it's supposed to be, isn't that a more natural type of...
That's Yeshayahu where it's supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a higher level?
Yeshayahu was a higher level.
Because it's more natural.
He saw it with the Mikdash. He saw it with God in its place. The king is in its home, the glory.
So why is it a higher level? If it's easier to see it when it's more natural, it should be a lower level.
That's a lower level? You mean, okay, maybe you're going to get to somewhere to say later. You're saying because like you have to be stronger or look harder to find
exactly.
It? Oh, so you're already going somewhere. Good. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. Okay. But Pashtus, everyone said Yeshayahu was higher in terms of him seeing God's greatness in a more glorified way. And therefore they could say, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Hashem said, "Melo chalar, it's kvado." Yes, I see His glory everywhere. Yeshayahu could say, "Where Yechezkel, I just saw them saying God is blessed from His place. His glory is in its place, wherever that place is. But I don't know exactly where it is." Okay. In fact, what do we say in the davening in Musaf? This is a whole different state idea. We say kadosh kadosh and melo chalar kvado, right? Then kivodoma. I'm going to say almost as a question. Kivodoma leolam. I never read it this way before. His kavod fills the world, you just said? Kadosh, 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 et mekolochartz kavodo? Right? Right? Mishartav shoylim zelazeh. What do you mean? His servants asked each other, Ayye mekom kavodo. I don't see it. Where is this place of kavod? What are you talking about? It rules the world. It's everywhere. I don't see anything. L'yumatam against them. Baruch Yomeru. They say Baruch Avad Hashem Mimakamo. It's from his place, wherever that place is. It's not everywhere. It's just from some small place. So it's a whole fight going on. I once heard Rabbi Reisman in Yeshurim like 20 years ago, where he introduced this idea that it's a battle going on. He says, first, there you have the Srafim, as we say in the davening, right? Kesotziach Sarfei Kodesh. We say the Sarfei Kodesh, the holy angels. They're saying Kadosh, Kadosh. And the other angels say, what are you talking about? Ayeim Mekom Kvodo? I don't see what you're talking about. Against that, they say, Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimakomo. God's is a very small place. I don't see it's everywhere. Yes.
It's the Hasidic versus Misnagdic approach to it. And he said that Uncle Moshe was passing the Shiloh.
Yes, Hashem is here. Hashem is here. Right, right. Yes. So you know, you have a famous machlokas, some of you know, between the Gra and the Besht on a very deep level. The Gra and the Balatanya and others about the idea of Simsum, like did God, when he contracted himself in this world, which we believe in, right? Certainly from the Kabbalah, does it mean he, you know, distanced himself from the world, which the Gra says, or according to the Balatanya, that he says no, he hid himself. But he's right here everywhere. That's why, according to Hasidim, there's sparks everywhere of Kedusha. They just have to be redeemed. Where the Gra held differently, no, that God is in absentia, so to speak. Okay, and we really don't see him. He's really not here. He's distanced himself. Okay, the same type of idea goes here with the Kadosh Kadosh and the Bruch Kavod. All right? And we both say both, of course. All right. Mishnagim and Hasidim. All right, yes.
Well, when Rabbi Weiner was just asking a question, it made me start to think, perhaps it's not just where Hashem, you know, where the Shekhinah is, if it's in the Beit HaMikdash or just somewhere else, but how we're trying to find him. So that's what you're saying. The harder the search makes it a more significant place.
Okay.
Whereas it's just on a, you know, just a platter just given to you in the Beit HaMikdash, that's not perhaps as great.
From your viewpoint,
right,
it's
but
more.
I'm saying maybe there's
but
a journey from
the,
involved
from
with
what,
it. But
what is really revealed, Hashem revealed himself more in the higher level, in the Yeshayahu, than the Yechezkel.
So it's just what you see, not what you find.
It's according to this, it's more like what you see and not what your effort was.
Okay.
You could try all you want, but you didn't get to see the king. You didn't make it. Sorry. You saw a little bit. You saw the back. You saw him walking away. Yeshayahu saw him head on, as it were, you know.
Because he
like
was
Marshall
greater
Vinny.
Or just because he was lucky? I mean, you know.
Because he's lucky? No, because he was in the Beis HaMikdash
right,
at that time, when the Mikdash and the Shekhinah was there in its place, and so on. Okay? All right, let's look at source number 12 now. Source number 10. The Alei Shor, you know, this is great about learning, as anyone learns knows. I was learning the Alei Shor this year, Volume 2, which I never learned, so I just happened to be learning it, and I was doing this year, and I said, oh, let me look up if he says anything, and I had to be right on where he was going to say something, which he says right here, right on it. He says, "Mitchalkim amalachim v'dargatam." He says the angels are divided up and they're different levels. Hasrafim aomdim mimalo. These srafim, these angels are called srafim. They're literally the burning ones, right? They're a flame with the connection to God, right? Aomdim mimalo, who stand around God. Omrim b'nachad ruach uvenima. As we said, they say nicely and beautifully and pleasantly. Kadosh, kadosh. Yes, they're having a nice, beautiful, wonderful experience. Okay? Ofanim v'chayot ha-kodesh. But the ofanim, the chayot, right? These other types of angels. She'enam omdin b'gov azeh. They're not at this high level. Minaseim b'kol rash gadol. As we said, they bring up this big noise against the shrafim. V'omrim bro kavod Hashem. Hasaga shel ha-shrafim ein lahem. They don't have the same level as the Srafim have, this high level. But they continue to still try to have a revelation of God, right, from his place. Even though they really don't fully understand where that place of Kavod is. So again, it seems to me saying Yeshayahu and those angels are on a higher level. By the way, let me just point out something. When do we read? Anyone know when we read these things? I'm going to give a clap if some people are falling asleep.
Shavuos.
Okay. So, yes, there's like Shavuos here, right? So, when do we, wait, when do we say it?
Shavuos morning.
We read Shavuos morning. What do we read? Which Haftarah? With what? What do we read? Yechezkel or Yeshaya?
Read
Yechezkel, right? Baruch Avad Hashem Yimakomo. So, you want to guess when we read Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh in the Haftarah? Yitro. Because both are revelations, right, of the Shekhinah, Gilui Shekhinah, both of these. So you see, it's not they're connected to each other. It's not like, well, you have Yeshaya and Yechezkel way down here, and there's never shall be connected. We do it on the same time of Matan Torah, one at one time, one at the other. Okay, so fascinating that that's when we have these read. Now, if I would ask you again, which angels are higher? So you'd say, if we, at least the way we were presenting it, the Seraphim, right, with Yeshayahu. Okay. And that's what the Ali Shor said. Look at the Rambam. I always wanted to use this Rambam. I know Hilchos Yesedei Torah pretty well. When are we going to use the Rambam about Malachim? When can I ever use this Rambam? The Rambam says, Shinui Shemot HaMalachim Al Shem Malatamhu. He says, the idea of the changing names, that they're different names for different Malachim, he says, it depends upon what their level is. Lefichach, Nikroim Chayot HaKodesh. Therefore, there are those who called the holy creatures, Behem Lamala Minakol. They are the highest creatures, the ones who are called the Chayot HaKodesh. And then he says, Behem Lamala Minakol, the Ofanim, and then come this Lord, or Ofanim, Virelim. Okay, so who are we talking about? Saul Yechezkel's? Ofanim V'Chayot HaKodesh, right? The highest level angels, according to the Rambam's understanding of it, are the ones who saw, right, the vision of Yechezkel, Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimakomo. All right, where he goes down later, and he goes on to say, "Bisrafim u'malachim." You see, the third line down. Then he says, "Serafim way down from the Chayat Hakodesh." So, according to the Rambam, as opposed to what we saw in the Ali Shor, he said you have a higher level in the Chayat Hakodesh than you do from the Serafim, which would be saying, as you were trying to say, Rav Weinrib, and I think as my wife was trying to say, that that's why you could argue. Wait a second, but those malachim were on a higher level, okay? They were on a higher level of Chayat HaKodesh, who said, it's just Baruch Kavod Hashem Yimakomo, indicating, as I would say, as I would agree with you, that the way you could save the Rambam, unless you want to say it's a machlokas HaRishonim, because the Rishonim actually argue this as well, not just the Ali Shor, is that the Seraphim may be, you know, in a sense, according to the Rambam, they're on a lower level, and the Chayat HaKodesh are on the higher level, but the Chayat HaKodesh therefore have to be put where the level is in Galus, right, in order to make it to the Shekhinah. As opposed to the Seraphim, we're here with the king and everything's fine and we just do our job every day and there's no problem. The Chayat HaKodesh have to be more intense and more focused in order to be able to see the Shekhinah. So that could be an answer into this machlokas about who's talking about whom in terms of the different angels being at the different place. Okay, yes.
I also had another thought relating to this, that the Seraphim who say Kadosh Kadosh, they are during the daytime.
Correct.
And the Ofanim with Baruch Kavod Hashem Mekomo, when they don't know where that is, they're functioning at night.
Very good. So this is the next thing I was going to say. Do you remember we saw in source number 2, right, where you said, right, the source for Tana B'Eliyahu, he said there are angels who say this during the day, Kadosh Kadosh, and angels who say this at night, right? Mm-hmm. What does day and night represent? I think this is also you're saying, I believe. Then it means light and dark, and it means experiences.
Light and able to see.
Oh, so they can see through the dark. That's what you're going to say. The Seraphim can see at night. The Ophanim can see at night. But the Seraphim need the daytime to be able to see, correct?
Or that they can see better.
The Ophanim and Chayat HaKodesh.
The Seraphim can see better because it's light.
Right. But otherwise, you're saying really the Ophanim and Chayat HaKodesh are the ones at night, I was going to say, because they have that more power, that therefore they can be able to see Shekhinah at night. Maybe the Seraphim can't.
It's like the Seraphim are able to see because it's
only because it's light time. Only because it's light.
Like special night vision.
Right, exactly. But moreover, I want to say this. It doesn't mean night and day. It means daytime at times of great brightness when everything's wonderful. So then, the Seraphim, right? Yeah, they say they're Kadosh Kadosh. But at nighttime, right, when things are terrible in Klal Yisrael, still you have Ofanim V'Chayat HaKodesh, you have these higher level malachim still, who say, don't give up, you'll find the Shekhinah even there. Okay? It's day and night, not just hours of day and night, but an experience of day and night in Klal Yisrael. Okay. Rav Soloveitchik in source number 12, this is what he said that really got me going into this whole thing when I saw this just a few years ago. He's the one who I saw who said, and this is from a new Sidur coming out from the RCA, it says there is a tension between the two central verses of Kedusha, both here and in the Amidah. Isaiah proclaimed Kadosh, 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 right? The glorious era, he says, of the first temple, when God's presence was palpable and self-evident. Thus, Isaiah experienced angels as praising God, whose glory fills the entire world. On the other hand, Yechezkel proclaimed Mimakomo, right? Blessed be God's glory in his abode. When the destruction of the temple and exile were imminent, his vision of the divine chariot of the river Shebar at Babylonian exile reflects a time of Hesterpani. And he says down below, that's why, right, it has withdrawn to Mikomo. If you look at the Malbim in source number 13, he says, Baruch Avad Hashem Mimakomo, I've said this before many years ago, some may remember. What do you think Mimakomo means? If I would ask you, what does Mimakomo mean? From his place, God's glory is still there. But just from his place, not Meloch Al Haaretz Kvado. What's Mimakomo mean? Anyone? Where do you think it would mean? What? No, that's Meloch Al Haaretz Kvado. Every place means from the Kadosh Kadosh. They said everywhere. They're just saying from his place, not everywhere. Just from a more reduced space. The Beis HaMikdash. I'll give you a proof. What do we call the Beis HaMikdash throughout Chumash? It's not called the Beis HaMikdash. Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha L'Shakein Shemo Sham. It's called Hamakom. Again and again, it's only called Hamakom. Why is that? The Rambam Mor Nevuchim has a whole thing. He says, why didn't God just say where Yerushalayim was and just call a spade a spade? Just say, this is the Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be in Yerushalayim. He said for three reasons. One, he says, because the non-Jews would try to destroy it. One is because the non-Jews would try to capture it. And three, he said, the main reason, because the Jews would fight over it. And they would try to do it. So before it was time, just keep it quiet. And when it's time to build the Mikdash, we'll build it. But otherwise, the Jews would involve in civil war, and they would try to fight each other, taking it over, because of the special nature. But anyway, there, the Shekhinah, we know from the Western Wall, we said it this morning in the keynotes, the Western Wall of the Beis HaMikdash never lost, I don't know if we mean the Western Wall or Western Wall, but the Shekhinah never left. Once, as we say in the Gemara, that the Beis HaMikdash was sanctified, it was sanctified not only then, but for all time. The Shekhinah is still there, that's why you still can't go into the Kodesh HaKodashim today, because the Shekhinah is still there till this day. So Mimakomo, while we still don't feel the Shekhinah everywhere, you should still know it's still there, it still exists, and it still flows from that place. Not to the degree that it did when there was a Beis HaMikdash, but even today it still flows, the Shekhinah being there. Now, this is what the Malbim says in source number 13. We just did inside. You can look at it on your own just for time purposes. Now, halacha lemaaseh, very interesting. Let's look at a halacha lemaaseh case. We said, kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvaot, Meloch HaLaaretz Kvado. Would you think that has any practical halachic ramifications that the whole world is filled with His glory? Yes?
I was going to say maybe like when to do interruptions and stuff like that in the davening, like if you're like finishing up the Shemon Ezra or something like that.
Okay, we'll get to that later. Hold on to that. Anything else? So there's a halacha, some of you may know, it's at the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch. Huh?
Can I only say with a minyan?
Something else. But this is the halacha. If you look at source number 14, it says, Kedushin Lamed Aleph, Amr B'Yeshua ben Levi, Asur La'adam She'elech Arba Amot, B'koma Zekufa, Shenem Armeloch La'aretz Kvodo. It says, God's glory fills the whole earth. So you know what? When you walk around, you're not allowed to walk around, you know, like straight as a broom, if you will. You know, like, I don't know, one of the soldiers in the Queen's palace. You know, you can't walk around like this. Ah, look at me. You have to walk. You have to walk around. It says you should not go like that, right? Not walk like that. And by the way, it says, Rav Huna, Bereid Rabbi Yeshua, Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, said, Lo misage arba amot begilui rosh. He says, that's why I don't go anywhere without a yarmulke. This is one of the sources for wearing a covering of your head. Amar Shechina l'malo miroshi. So I'll understand that the Shechina is above my head. Now, the idea is, if God's glory is everywhere, it's kind of like, how can you stand straight up? What do you mean? His glory is like pressing down on you. Okay, so in fact, it says, Allah is, therefore Yeshua said, that when you walk around, you have to walk a little bent over. You can't walk so straight up. Okay, in fact, it says in source number 15, the Marsha says there, yeah, someone who walks straight up like that, it's like God doesn't even exist. He thinks, here I am, I'm just putting my head into his space. There's no Meloch HaLaaretz Kvado, okay? I'm just going to go and do what I want. That's what he says. If you look at source number 16, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says that, in fact, the halach is, v'yakum v'yelech, you have to wake up and stand up and walk, b'kefifat harosh ma'at. You have to walk with your head a little low. And the Ben Ish Chai says the same thing, that you should walk in such a way. They say that you can see your feet just a little bit as you're walking, just barely see your feet. Kind of keep your eyes looking this way. And so when you see a person, you don't look strange, like you have to look up, but your head should be a little bent over. Fortunately, the Aruch HaShulchan says in source number 17, Eina kavana shiyelech shechuach ela shelo yelech zakuf yoter midai. Bin garon natui, he says, kederech hageyim. The Aruch HaShulchan says, it doesn't mean that. We're leaning, I think, like the Ruch HaShulchan, maybe some aren't, Balei Musa and others, but the Ruch HaShulchan doesn't mean that you have to walk with your head bent over. It just means it can't be, you know, straight up like this. There used to be a guy we both knew named Simon Greenberg, somewhere in New York, and he used to walk like this. And I really said, I'm going to walk like that. He was like 90 years old. And I said, when I get 90, I'm going to walk like that, because he walked so straight. But I see, not supposed to walk so straight.
I think it's Ruch not HaShulchan straight. Says, I think it's more like you shouldn't strut.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's not the strutting, but it's the... You know, your head up kind of like that. Yeah. You know, you shouldn't do that. Now, why I bring this in? So I just thought to myself, and I remembered, like, again, 20 years ago, and I mean 20 years ago, I couldn't find the source now, but I guarantee you I saw it. I'll keep looking. I saw a source that said this halacha doesn't apply anymore today. You know why? Why doesn't it apply today? What? What? No, so what do we say? What are we?
Is not there.
Because Kadosh Kadosh, we said, only applies the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Today is Ruch Kavod HaShemim Makomo. So I saw one source say that we're not even makpid on this anymore, because today you don't have Kadosh Kadosh, God's glory everywhere pressing down on you. And consequently, there's no problem if you walk straight up, because you're not hitting anything. You don't have that glory anymore. You don't have that. Anyway, just fascinating. I recall that. I should have to find it. Huh? I know, so we're not going to go that far. We're not going to go that far, but okay. Because he said, I remember God's above me. I mean, he doesn't say that, you know, that it's just the idea of Kadosh, Kadosh, and Malach Haaretz Kvodo. So it could be different there. All right.
You shouldn't find that walking past JTS or something.
Let's go on. Okay, this source, let's go to source number 4, okay? All right, I see the kids are coming out, so we're gonna get going here. Source number 4, where I have down below, it's Roman numeral number 4. Hamikdash Hamitit. If you haven't read this in Rav Chaim Volozhin, and we're going to do it outside for time purposes, you have to read it, because it will change your life. At least it changed mine, just in terms of ideas. Rav Chaim Volozhin says that here we are mourning the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. You know what he says? You know what the real Beis Hamikdash was? It wasn't Yerushalayim. You know what we said there in keynotes and everything? The Mikdash, Yerushalayim? That's all true, but you know what? That's not the true Beis Hamikdash. It's not the true Beis Hamikdash. The true Beis Hamikdash is every one of us. How do you know that? You remember back in Parshas Truma, V'yasu li mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham, you shall build for me a mikdash, a holy place, and I shall dwell within them, right? Gemara says, not b'tocho, but within them. Now we all take it to mean, okay, it doesn't mean within the temple itself, like the idolaters used to be that the gods lived in the temple, you have to feed them, you have to give them food and nourishment, and they survive. If you destroy the temple, you destroy them, okay? It's not like that. But we believe that it means that God is our midst. If we build a holy place, God will be in our midst. But no, he says it means B'toch HaMamish. It means God, the Mikdash, is dwelling in you. Is dwelling in you. Okay? That's where the Mikdash dwells. Every person is his own Mikdash. And in fact, that's why, okay, I once pointed out in Parshas Truma, it describes the building of the Mikdash in very interesting ways. It describes it like parts of the body. It'll describe like the legs of the menorah, or by an amah, a certain amount, right, going by the arm length. Or it'll say the head of this, where it'll say Isha Elachota. They combined a woman with her pal when they connected these things together. A woman, it says Isha Elachota. Like that language. It has it in bodily form. Why? Because Rav Chaim Volozhin says that we are each the Mikdash. What is the idea, he says, of the Mikdash in Yerushalayim? That was just. That was a model of how our things are supposed to be lived. When you live your life and you do things with sanctity and you go to the Mikdash, you see everything is in order and you see everything is holy and everything is great and the Shekhinah dwells there. And so too in your own life and with your own body, you're supposed to have the Shekhinah dwelling within you. You are, he says, the real Mikdash. Just to point it out, because we're not reading the whole thing, go to source number 18, right? 18 at the very bottom. He says, Tachlit kavanati, my intent is, he's speaking for God, and we told you to do this. Shekein tasu et atzmechem. So shall you make yourselves, yastu li mikdash. You shall make yourself into a mikdash. Go to the top of the next page. He says, Hare, kivadai, ikar, inyan, Hekdesh, Rakodesh, Vamitash, Vishriach, Kinatoi, Barach, Hua Adam. The main source of having the Mikdash is in the person himself. Shimikadesh Atzmo, Karaui, Bikiyum, Amitzvot, Kulan, Ashu Atzmo, Hamikdash, Mamish. Do you hear that? God, the individual himself, is the Mikdash. He's a Mikdash Mamish. The real Mikdash is the human being. The Beis HaMikdash, that's a model for us to look for. This is Rav Chaim Volozhin. This is not Chassidus. This is not a Drasha. This is Rav Chaim Volozhin in the Nefesh HaChaim saying that this is how it's supposed to be. And just one more point, all right, on this. He says in the next paragraph an amazing thing. We read also today about Titus HaRasha, the wicked Titus, who came in and he brought prostitutes into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Holy of Holies, and he profaned the Holy of Holies, right? This is what he says. And I put this down when in my Nefesh HaChaim. I wrote this next to it after I'm going to tell you what it said. It says, therefore, any human being, any Jew especially, who brings a foreign thought into his mind, he says, that is worse than bringing an idol or bringing a prostitute into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Holy of Holies. Why? Because as he just said, because you're the real Mikdash. He said, that Mikdash is a model. Yes, it's a holy model. Yes, there are rules. You have to follow that model. You have to keep halachas. Okay, but nonetheless, bringing something in there, that's not the Ikar thing. Bringing foreign thoughts and ideas into your mind, he says, that is far worse than bringing something foreign and in terrible into the Beis HaMikdash. To such a degree does he say this? Look at that paragraph, the second paragraph again on the left, the final column, where he says, he quotes Yeshayahu, and he says, this is really saying, Beit Kodshenu v'tifarteinu asher v'gomer hayal esreifat esh. He says, this is the real statement of our temple being destroyed, he says, is when you bring foreign thoughts and you don't do mitzvahs, then you're destroying yourself, the real Mikdash, where the Shekhinah can dwell within every person. Harachaman yitbarach shemo yatzileinu. May God save us from this. I wrote next on my book, I wrote, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana. I said, Ribbono Shalom, that any foreign thought in my mind is worse than me going to the Kodesh HaKodashim, bringing a foreign substance or something in there. How are you supposed to survive that? But at least be aware of it, that all of us are the Mikdash. All of us have that capacity to be the Mikdash. You had a question before?
I think I read that prior to the giving of the Torah, the Jewish people were all at the level of Adam before the sin in the garden.
That's correct.
And we all had that Mikdash within us, but once we did the sin of the golden calf, it was lost.
That's right. Your view goes with some like the Meshech Chochma and others who claim it's a big machloket, the Rambam versus the Ramban and many others. If the Mikdash and the Mishkan was like a compromise, so to speak, okay, because of the golden calf, so therefore now we're going to have a Mishkan and a Mikdash and so on. Or really, ideally, we didn't need a Mishkan and a Mikdash. But we could all be the Mikdash. However, since we sinned that way, we needed a place to go to like other nations. We needed korbanos like other nations, except there were, of course, specific halachas. There was one God, not many gods, and so on. So that's a big machlokas. You're right. That is true. Also, there's a question, after the sin of the golden calf, did we reacquire our notion of Adam HaRishon? Like, now we're all in that high state again? Or did we lose it again after the golden calf? It's a machlokas and the Gemara between two different views. Very good. Yes. Lenny, you had your hand up before or not?
Yeah, I did. Let me look at the turn of phrases. Is the base of Mikdash supposed to be a dugma for what we're supposed to be like, or are we a dugma of what the base Mikdash is representing?
No, I think it's a dugma for what we're supposed to be. And it's built for us to look at it and see everything functioning properly and everything in holiness, even improper thoughts are not allowed there and so on. Everything is done to a T with proper mitzvahs, and all that is there, and we're supposed to take that, like almost when we visit there especially, and take that back with you. Not just, I went to the Mikdash, Shol Regalimar, I brought a korban. You're supposed to walk out of there like, I am supposed to be that Mikdash in terms of who I am. Every individual is supposed to be that Mikdash, that holy type of individual. Okay, now, one final thing. What we have just done, and then we're going to close, what we have just done is we just personalized the idea of the Mikdash, right? The Mikdash isn't just some building out there. The Mikdash is relevant to all of us in our hearts and our minds. That is the Beis HaMikdash, okay? That is its own Mikdash. Now Rav Soloveitchik, this is the other thing that he taught me, which for years I never understood. And hopefully you will, and I said it once at Golf Manor between Mincha Mariv, if you remember it. For years I never understood it. We're going back now to the beginning where we started. Kadosh, Kadosh, Baruch Kavod. Okay, those are the two main psukim in the Kedusha, right? If you don't know, as you said before, right, that if you're in the middle of Kedusha, if you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, and you hear Kedusha, right, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Stop, and what do? You listen. What's that called, by the way? Shomea Ka'one, right? You stop and you listen, and you're Yotzei through the Chazan. Okay? By the way, this is a big machlokas rishonim, just to show that you think like, oh yeah, so you think that's what you do. It is what you do. That's lamaisa what you do. But there are in the rishonim many different views. Some say, no, you can't stop. You have to keep going. Why? Because Shomea Ka'one, like Tosa says, is like you said it. If it's like you said it, then you said it. If you said it, you can't interrupt. So it doesn't do any good. You just listen, because it's like you said it. Because you're interrupting. There are other views who say it only works if you could interrupt there. For example, you can say Kiddush for me because I can say Kiddush for myself right now. So you can say Kiddush for me. And I can listen and I'm Yotzei. All right? But if I can't say Kedusha, you can't say it and I can't be Yotzei if I can't say it myself. That's another view in the Rishonim. Okay? And with the different views in the Rishonim, there's like five different views. We hold, you sit, and you listen. Okay, here's my question. What about Yimlo Hashem Le'olam? Elokai Etzion, Nador Vador Haleluka. Is that part of Kedusha or not? Isn't it always confusing? First of all, on Kadosh Kadosh, you're supposed to go up on your feet, right? Why do you go up on your feet? Why are your feet together? Why?
Like you're
why are you like a Malachim? That makes sense. Okay, the Malachim, we're trying to be like a Malachim. Okay, fine. Now on Yimloch, do you go up? Yeah. They all bring you go up. Yeruch HaShulchan says Befeirush. You go up on Yimloch. You go up on Yimloch. Okay, for years, I never understood this. I said, it makes no sense. Where's Yimloch from? Where's it from? You say it every day. Where's it from?
Tehillim.
Yimloch Hashem Olam. At the end, after Ashrei, the next part of Tehillim, the last verse is Yimloch Hashem Olam. It's not the angels. It's David HaMelech. Okay, David HaMelech. I respect that. But it's not the Malachim. It's not Kadosh Kadosh. It's not Baruch Kavod. It's Yimloch. Yimloch is a pasuk from Tehillim. It's a different Tehillah Hashem Yidaber Pi. It's a pasuk. Okay? So why on Yimloch, and it's often blackened also, you know, in the Siddur, right? Or also in Vayal Tzion, Hashem Yimloch Olam Voed. Why is this considered to be something you go up and be like the angels for? But it's not the angels. David HaMelech said it. Why do you go up on Yimloch? So therefore, for years, I didn't go up. I just said like, oh, no, I don't do so much on this. I mean, I believe Nasa Benishma. But I said, this just doesn't make sense. Okay? Yimloch, you don't go up on. Okay? I'm not going up. Okay? So unfortunately, there's some people off manner. Jeff Karras has told me. He said years ago, he was here when I happened to say this. And he said, like, when you hear me say the change I'm going to make now. And he said, I didn't go up because once you said, like, you don't have to go up because it's not from the angels. So I stopped going up. Now he was visiting town again. And he said this, I have to start going up again. Okay, so start. Okay. So but what is the Yimloch idea? For years, I couldn't understand it. And that's why Soloveitchik always to me is like, that's my Rebbe.
Is it the same because idea he was bothered.
No. No. I always said, like, what? And in fact, I don't even have the source for it. I always write down the source. I got it from Rav Ganak. I got it from Schechter. I couldn't even remember the source. Where did I get this from? This is what Soloveitchik said. And listen how he said it. You know he said it because you'll hear how he said it. He said, what we're being told is, Baruch Kavod and Kadosh Kadosh, that's Kedusha, right? Every statement of Kedusha, every time you're Mekadesh Hashem like that, right? It must be accompanied by an act of Kabbalas Olmachut Shemayim, by an act of accepting God's kingship. What is Yimloch? I recognize God as king, right? What is Yimloch? God is king, okay? And back to the very beginning, source number one, we said, V'chulam b'kablim aleihem olmachut shemayim zemizeh. Before they could say Kadosh, and they could say Baruch Kavod, that had to be accompanying. I wish it would be, the Soloveitchik said it had to be at the beginning, but it's not at the beginning in the Kedusha. But he said it, that's why he said it in that way, it had to accompany. Any act of Kedusha had to be accompanied with an act of Kabbalas Olmachut Shemayim. You cannot be Mekadesh Shem Hashem without being Mekabel Olmachut Shemayim, without accepting God's kingship upon yourself. Okay? And that's what Yimloch is, he says. He says, Yimloch is the act of I'm being Mekabel Olmachut Shemayim. Otherwise, I had no right to say Kedusha. Okay? Now you know why you go up? Because once Yimloch is the matir, if you will, which allows you to go ahead and say Kedusha, so then it's just like what the angel said, it's part of Kedusha. They themselves had to be Mekabel Olmachut Shemayim. Now it's part of Kedusha, that's why you have to go up on Yimloch. And then I even bring it to another level now. Rav Ryan will think about this, and that is, there are some posts, if I recall, who say, but we don't pass in this way, that Yimloch, you should also, during Shemon Esrei, if you're listening, you should also listen to Yimloch. Or if you were somewhere else in the davening, let's say, in Birkos Kriyat Shema or somewhere, So Moshe can only answer Kadosh, Kadosh, and Baruch Kavod, right? In a certain spot of interruption, some of you are saying, what about Yimloch? I think Moshe, no, not Yimloch. But here, I've seen some say you could also say Yimloch, because Yimloch is seen now as part of Kedusha, according to this view. All right? Does everyone get that? In terms of Yimloch? Incredible idea. Let me close with this. So sometimes, from both sides, we personalize the Beis HaMikdash and its laws. So too, let's personalize this in terms of our own lives. Sometimes, we say Kadosh, 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 Hashem, Elokha, right? Hashem, Tzvakot, Elokha, Arutz, Kvodo. Sometimes we see God's glory is everywhere, like Yeshayahu did, and we say His glory is everywhere. We feel it so much. Beis HaMikdash, no Beis HaMikdash, but we feel it, be it when we have a child, be it when we have something great happen in our lives. Sometimes you just recognize, you know, Kadosh, Ribbono Shalom, thank you, Ribbono Shalom. Sometimes you just, it just hits you like that. And there are other times in our lives where it's Baruch Kavod Hashem Yimakomo. I said, I believe God is still here, and I believe strongly, of course, in Him, and I believe, but His glory, I just, you know, I don't feel it so much. You know, I don't feel it so much. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, maybe that's why we say, when we say Hamakom Yenachem Etchem to someone who lost a relative, why do we say Hamakom? Why not say Hashem Yenachem? Why not say this Yenachem? Why not Elohim? Why do we say something Hamakom Yenachem Etchem? Okay? He says, because Hamakom refers to God when He was Baruch Avod Hashem Mimakomo, God when His glory was lessened. Okay, and a person who is feeling down and he lost his relative often feels like, where's your shoulder? I lost my relative. I'm sad. I'm grieved. I mean, I don't feel it right. So he said, Baruch Hashem HaKavod Mikom, not just Melokh Haaretz Kvodo. A person can't handle that right there. He said, Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimakomo. He said, you should know God is still there for you, even from His place, even though you may not feel it right now. That's why we do it. And that's something we say to ourselves too. Kadosh, Kadosh. Sometimes God's glory is everywhere. We feel it. And sometimes Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimakomo, we don't feel as much. But now I'm adding what Rav Soloveitchik said. He didn't say this, but I'm adding it. But the main thing is to me, where Yimloch becomes the main aspect, that I'm a Kabbal Amachut Shemayim. Be it in my life, I have Kedusha like that, like Kedusha is everywhere, Kadosh, Kadosh. Or be it in my life where it's Baruch Kavod Hashem Yimkomo, I still say fully, Yimloch Hashem Le'olam, I accept all Machut Shemayim upon myself. I understand that there are times in my life that are difficult and that everything isn't great, but yet I'm a Kabbal Amachut Shemayim upon myself. And if all of us, of course, can understand that, that even though we live in a world which is post Beis HaMikdash, and usually we may say is Baruch Kavod Hashem Yimakomo, according to Yechezkel. And nonetheless, we can understand that still God's glory is there and one day it can be made great again, that indeed this is the way that we can properly go ahead and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash.